Hands it off. Left circle. McNabb. Dorothy have one-timer. Blocked. Rattles around. Score!
Nobody is ever satisfied with one. So we're back for a second hour of the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show.
Michael takes it on his backhand. Forehand pass. Hanifin. Score! Noah Hanifin.
From the Finley Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studio and live at lvsportsnetwork.com, here is Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace.
Hour number two of the VGK Insider Show rolling along here on a Monday. And the VGK Insider Show is brought to you by the Dollar Loan Center, where your first loan is on us. Apply for free at don'tbebroke.com to get up to $5,000. It's been a long day in the National Hockey League. Free agency opened up at 9 a.m. this morning. And boy, oh boy, there has been a lot of money spent. There's been a lot of movement in terms of key players, big name players, unrestricted free agents going and signing in places that we really didn't expect that they would. I mean, Steven Stamkos isn't a member of the Tampa Bay Lightning. That's how wild this free agency has been so far. And for the Golden Knights, who had six unrestricted free agents on the roster, six guys that were, you know, on the precipice of either re-signing with Vegas or going to market, all six ended up going to market, and all six have contracts in different places. We've already talked about Jonathan Marchessault. So he signs a five-year, $5.5 million AAV contract with the Nashville Predators. Chandler Stephenson has moved on to the Seattle Kraken. 7 years, $6.25 million for Chandler. William Carrier, 6 years, $2 million AAV to go to the Carolina Hurricanes. We've kind of dived into those three contracts, those three signings so far, and we're going to hit you with the remaining three. And then as soon as Kelly McCrimmon addresses the media, we will endeavor to bring that to you live as well, so you can hear from the general manager of these Vegas Golden Knights. So we stopped on Will Carrier. We're going to jump to Michael Amadio. Michael Amadio signs a three-year, $2.6 million AAV contract with the Ottawa Senators. I really love Michael Amadio. I can't hide it. Like, this kid is awesome, and he's got great skill. I think more skilled than a lot of people give him credit for. He has a nose for the net. He can drive offense, not maybe as consistently as some other higher end players, but for a middle of the lineup guy, he gets the job done in a lot of different ways. I love his defensive stick. It's fantastic. He can knife down pucks in the neutral zone. He can turn defense into offense. Those are all things, qualities that coaches look for, that teammates love in helping you win hockey games. So it makes a lot of sense for the Ottawa Senators, makes a lot of sense for Michael Amadio, given the fact that 3 years ago, he was a waiver claim by the Vegas Golden Knights.
Yeah.
Right? That's what it was for Michael Amadio. And so he got himself to a spot where he became an everyday NHL player, 3 years removed from being a waiver wire pickup. He's a Stanley Cup champion. And of all the contracts handed out today to Golden Knight UFAs, I think Michael Amadio is going to be the guy that's able to live up to and exceed the value of his contract for the duration of it.
Yeah, because I think he's only going to get better. I think he's going to become a better player. So for Ottawa, it's going to turn out to be a deal where this guy is underpaid. And you know, we talk about guys that we had hoped that they had been able to re-sign. Michael Amadio was a guy that I had hoped that they were going to resign, because I figured he would be inexpensive enough to where they would be able to find a way to make it work for him. And, you know, unfortunately, it just didn't work out. But, you know, I guess we'll just have to see, you know, for him how it goes. But Ryan, obviously disappointed to see him go. But I think for Michael, it's going to turn out to be a pretty good deal for him. And I guess we're going to go to Kelly McCrimmon.
Yeah, if you've got Kelly up, let's go to Kelly.
And as well, to keep us out of free agency today by having, with the case of Noah Hanifin, who we signed to a contract upon trading for him, Thomas Hurdle, who was under contract, those players become part of our team for the coming season, which is part of the makeup of our roster and leads to some of the decisions that had to be made. We think those were really good additions. You know, this is the realities of the NHL. You've got good players that have been on a good team, that have had success. Every guy moves on to a real good contract in another organization, and we wish them the very best. When the season ended, the only free agent that we continued to negotiate with was with Jonathan Marchessault. With Marshy, we spoke to Marshy before the season began. We spoke to Marshy at the All-Star break. And when I say to Marshy, some of those conversations would be with his representatives. And then following the season, we had a number of meetings with his agent, Pat Brisson. We had numerous calls. We met in person twice at Buffalo at the NHL Combine. We met in person at the draft here on two occasions. And on Thursday, the day before the NHL draft, we felt that we had a pathway to get a deal done. I felt both parties were on the way to completing a deal. The next day, just prior to the draft, things really changed. And in the case of Marshy, it was really important for him to get the term of 5 years. That wasn't something that we were comfortable with. And quite frankly, the data doesn't support, you know, he's going to be 38 years old in that final season. And, you know, maybe Marshy can, because he's proved people wrong his whole career. But it wasn't a position that we were comfortable with, the five-year term. So that's really where it got to, and we couldn't bridge that gap. He moves on. We wish him well. You know, all of the things that you people know about him are all the things that I got to enjoy every day. My personal relationship with him was great. His moments in our organization, in terms of the key moments, none better. And he'll go and continue to do the same thing with his new team in Nashville. With the others, again, it was their chance to capitalize. And free agency this year, as I mentioned, we wanted to try to stay out of free agency because of the money that was being spent. Today felt like 2016. There was some money back in the system. There were a lot of contracts given out today that had big term and had big AAV. Those would be my opening thoughts on the free agents that are outgoing. In terms of what we did with our roster, of course, we talked about the trade on Saturday of Logan Thompson, talked about the trade of Paul Cotter, the acquisition of Alexander Holtz and Akira Schmid. Today in free agency, as I suggested to you on Saturday, we added a backup goaltender, Ilya Samsonov, who comes to us after his time in Toronto. We again today came to agreement with restricted free agents Kaden Korzak and Pavel Dorofeev. We expect, in the case of Pavel, to really continue to blossom in the opportunity that he's going to now have on our team. And Kaden Korzak will be a full-time NHL player this year based on what we saw from his time with our team last year. He's more than ready, I think, to step into an NHL lineup. Those are the moves that we made today, and I'd open it up to questions if I could. Maybe before we do, I'm sure everybody's going to be watching development camp here this week. It's a really important week for the organization, for our scouting staff. We've got a lot of the key people from our amateur staff are here. Our player development people are here. Our pro scouting staff are in town because of free agency, as well as development camp. It's a great opportunity to see the progression from 1 year to the next for the players that are here for the second or third time. It's a good opportunity for our organization to look at college free agents. So we look forward to watching the players on ice this week. I'd open it up to any questions.
This is the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. We are listening to General Manager Kelly McCrimmon as he addresses the media after today's opening to free agency.
I'm not sure if you have any comments as far as to what he had said, but after everything that you just laid out, do you have any response to that?
I didn't, Danny. We were working all day. Couldn't be further from the truth, I guess is what I would say. Marcy's a fiery guy, so he would perhaps feel that way. I think anybody that's knows me, knows Marcy, our time together in this organization, the value we have on him, the respect we have for him, I would disagree with that, Dan.
Can you just talk about what you liked in Ilya Samsonov? And we haven't seen the details of that. If you could just give us what the terms of the deal were.
It's a one-year contract for $1.8 million. And, we did a lot of work on our goaltending with Sean Burke and Mike Rosati as well, who is in our organization evaluating goaltenders. And Sean feels he's a real good goaltender that had a down year and is a perfect guy to bet on and bring in. Similar mindset or thought process to when we acquired Aiden Hill.
Danny.
Former first round pick, good pedigree, size, athleticism.
Among the RFAs, we noticed Akira Schmid was not qualified. Is there a pathway to bring him back, or do you expect to sign him to a new deal? Or
we'll have something put together there shortly.
How much more activity do you anticipate, whether it be through free agents remaining or possible trades?
Both are possible. I don't know that anything's necessarily probable, but both are possibilities. When we look at our team next year, we feel we're really strong in goal. Love our defense, love our centers. I think that we've got some forwards on the wings that are ready to take on more responsibility and bigger roles. We might continue to look there. We've got some younger people that I think are going to get better looks for opportunities to play. And that's a little bit of the transition when some players move on from an organization. It's going to provide opportunity for some other players. And, you go back to the expansion year. That was all about guys coming in and getting, more opportunity than the year before where they played. So we'll see how that plays out, but we're open-minded to either possibility.
Kelly, just what do you think about free agency just compared to years past, just some of the deals that were done today and maybe just in comparison to years past that you saw?
Yeah, I think significantly different and, likely as simple as more money in the system compared to the flat cap that we had for like four or five years through the pandemic and coming out of the pandemic. And, this would be more along the lines of what 2016, 2017, what those opening days of free agency looked like. Traditionally, there's a lot of mistakes made on July 1st. Obviously, there's a lot of situations where teams really do help their teams help their team by adding the right players at the right price, but it doesn't always work out with all of the transactions that happen on opening day.
The value of the contract on Hurdle, San Jose retains a bit, so it's just north of six. And then you extended Hanifin long-term. You said you wanted to avoid free agency. Do those contracts compare pretty favorably to what you saw handed out today?
Yeah, I think. Thomas was under contract, so that would be a different situation. Noah was an expiring contract when we traded for him. We talked with his representation during the season to get a contract done to avoid a situation exactly like today. Both players, I think, are going to be really important on our team this year. And, we're happy to have them. I think Noah really added some speed to our back end, partnered well with different players because of the in and out we had with some of the injuries and whatnot. So, as I touched on earlier, I think our centers and our D are really the strength of our team along with our goaltending.
Kelly, you mentioned maybe the spending was a little different this year in free agency. Is that something you anticipated going in, or if not, did that maybe change the plan you had going in when you saw how teams were spending?
No, we anticipated this for quite a few months, that this would be the result. You know, the cap went up, everybody had more money, and this is a time where teams will look to shore up weaknesses from the previous year. When you look at some of the big spenders, it's teams that are really trying to change course and made those corresponding moves to try to improve their team.
When you look at the forwards especially, do you feel like this might be a year that you have like maybe the most infusion of youth into that group?
It could be. And again, I really, I like our centers, right? And I think what you have with a lot of teams when you look around the league is you come up with pairs. And, then you're looking for complementary wingers to go with those players. So if your centers are as strong as ours are, I think it really helps, bring a younger player or an evolving player along. I think it's the best scenario for, people like that.
Your thoughts on Utah joining the league? That's a team with a lot of cap space right now, so they're probably going to be doing some stuff. And the territorial issue.
It's the VGK Insider Show. General Manager Kelly McCrimmon is addressing the media today after the opening of free agency.
They're going to be doing some things. I would say they have done some things. Yeah. I anticipated that. And, it's a unique situation. In Arizona, they had a completely different mandate, a completely different template. I don't think one that anyone necessarily enjoyed. But through that, they were able to draft a lot of really good prospects. They were always, they were acquiring dead money to hit the floor. So when they go to Utah and they have much more solid ownership and a lot of cap space, really strong forwards, really, I think they only had one or two defensemen under contract. So it allows them to go to the market and really improve their team. And then they also made one really big trade. So I anticipated, right back to the move, that they would change the look of our conference, and I believe that they will.
And the territorial issues?
I think those are good for us, right? I think that when you have those teams that are nearby, I feel like that's going to potentially be a little bit better rivalry for us than maybe what Arizona was. We've played in the exact building that they're going to open up with. We played, I think, three times there in the past. Interestingly, it was LA's home game that we played in Salt Lake each time, and it was really neat how Vegas, pro Vegas, the fans there were, even though it was LA's home game. So. We have lost some fans, I guess, from Salt Lake, but it's I think it's great for the league. I think it'll be a really good franchise.
Normally at a development camp, you have the ECHL coaches involved, but right now you guys are still reworking that. So any news about that that's going to come down about your new CHL affiliate?
Yeah, I think some of those things are pending. Like I think a lot of that traction will start to happen. In our world, everything is about the draft. Then it's about free agency. Then you have development camp, and then you move on to some of the other things that take place. Both with Henderson, with the ECHL teams as well.
Anything else for Kelly today?
I just had one closing comment I wanted to make. Days like this are tough for fans. And they're not easy for, like the fans think they know our players. I know our players better than our fans do. So I've got relationships with each of these guys. You have to respect their rights as unrestricted free agents. That's the collective bargaining agreement. We didn't trade these players. So they, we tried to retain them. We're not going to go into the weeds and what each contract negotiation was with each player. But we were not after huge hometown discounts or anything else like that. We made, I thought, real fair, reasonable offers. I think they would say the same. they had a chance to do something different, and they chose to do that. These aren't guys that had a bullseye on them that we wanted to trade out of the organization. Every one of those guys is a Stanley Cup champion. And when you win a Stanley Cup, you're going to have a connection to those people the rest of your life, not just for the next 6 months or the next year. Those are people that you'll walk with forever. You know, I know last year when we would meet, when we would play the teams in the playoffs that had our players on them. So when we played Winnipeg and we had Laurent Brossoit come over to our dressing room and present him with his Stanley Cup ring, when we gave Riley Smith his Stanley Cup ring at the White House, when we had Jonathan Quick to our room and get his ring presented to him, those are really tremendous memories that aren't changed by any of these things that happen. It was a really special group, and when you go and look backwards at the teams that win Stanley Cup championships, the Colorado Avalanche, Tampa, you know, pick one, it's the nature of the business. Part of the reason we won the Stanley Cup is we had so many players outperform their contract. Well, when their contracts come due, they go and find market value. That's the nature of the business. So it hurts. We feel the same way that a lot of you do and a lot of our fans do. But again, it's a part of the business that we all have to respect and understand. And at the same time, we're very excited about moving forward. We're very excited about seeing what, you know, some of these people can do that are going to get more opportunities potentially if we have more people come into the organization than what we are at presently. Those are all things that that will play out. But our nucleus, the core of our dressing room, all of those things is still a very strong unit that's made up of real good talent, real good people. So those would just be my closing thoughts. I meant to touch on that right off the top, but just to close, I wanted to mention that. So thank you.
That was General Manager of the Vegas Golden Knights, Kelly McCrimmon, as he addressed the media today. Gave a little bit of information, and we can now talk about Ilya Samsonov. 1 year, $1.8 million AAV on the contract for Samsonov. McCrimmon also mentioned that 2 year contracts for Pavel Dorofeev and Kaiden Korzak. No information on the value on the term, the AAV on either one of those deals. I don't expect that Dorofeev or Korzak, that they're going to be breaking the bank. But McCrimmon did mention that he expects Kaiden Korzak to be a full-time NHL player, or at least a player on the main roster all year long for the Golden Knights. So when you look at it from that perspective, I mean, listen, the fact of the matter is the Golden Knights are absolutely stacked defensively. They just are. You know, and McCrimmon had touched on Noah Hanifin, Tomas Hertl, the deals that Vegas made, the trades that Vegas made, and then subsequently re-signing Hanifin to an extension. It kept them out of an inflated market today. And that's the biggest take-home message here. When you start to think about the Golden Knights and how they've built their teams over the years, it has always been about cost certainty, and it has always been about, as something Kelly just touched on, players outperforming their contracts and not getting into bidding wars in a big market like there was today. We talked about it. The number's ridiculous. General managers around the league have spent a collective $1 billion on contracts today. And I guarantee you, when all is said and done, when the dust clears and everything's settled, there will be buyouts of contracts that were signed today. There will be contracts that do not age well. There will be contracts where the AAV is too high at the end of the deal, or the length, the term is too long. And the idea of getting your players, bringing your guys, identifying the need, going out and getting it, bringing it in, cost certain, and keeping yourself out of a market where you have to bid amongst 5, 6, 7 teams, all of which are willing to go one extra year or a little bit higher on the AAV, doesn't work for the bottom line of the Golden Knights. And that's why Kelly talked about Hanifin and Hurdle, their inclusion at the trade deadline this season being a big part of their off-season dealings going into next season, as well as locking up Dorofeev, locking up Kaden Korzak, and giving more of an opportunity to some of the younger players inside the organization that you're hoping can take a step and give you solid quality minutes at team-friendly deals.
Yeah, I mean, he said it. A lot of teams make mistakes on July 1st. Like, that was something that
he absolutely
said. And he's 100% right. There are teams today signing players to contracts that in a year, maybe 2 years, they're regretting signing those contracts. They're looking for ways out of those contracts. And the Golden Knights, to their credit, they don't generally make mistakes. Like, they tend to be, and this is why I tell people, give the organization the benefit of the doubt here. Because we are now getting ready to go into our eighth season with this team here in Vegas. You could probably count, and I'm not talking about the expansion draft. I mean, yeah, they drafted guys like Brendan Leipzig, who, you know, obviously you look back, that was a mistake. But I'm talking about, like, post-expansion when you're signing free agents, you trade for players. Like, outside of the Tatar deal, which was year one, and I would say maybe the Fleury extension after year one, what mistakes has this organization made? Everything that they've done has worked. And it's only 378 days ago that this team brought a Stanley Cup to the city of Las Vegas. With this front office, you have to give them the benefit of the doubt. And like Kelly said, he knows these players better than the fans. He knows these players like they're his children.
Yeah.
It can't be easy for him to watch like Marcius Olive.
I thought one of the most telling things that he said, frankly, was one of the main reasons that we won the Stanley Cup is because we had players that were outperforming their contracts. And when those contracts are up, the player has every right to go to market and get market value. I will make the argument that when you look at the contracts that the Golden Knights players have signed today, Chandler Stephenson is over market value for longer term than I would go. Jonathan Marchessault is probably a little under market value, but for longer than I would go. William Carrier's market value, but again, for longer than I would go for a player that at times has had injury concerns. I think Michael Amadio is probably the one for my money that's right on the nose. 3x2.6 makes a lot of sense for the player. I think he's going to perform well to that number. He might even outperform that number, and I think he'll do it for the duration of the contract. You know, Alec Martinez, 1x4 with Chicago, like, you're not bringing him in to be a Stanley Cup championship caliber defenseman. You're bringing him in to help the culture move along in Chicago, to field a competitive team, to teach the defense in Chicago what it takes to be a winner. The impact of Alec Martinez with Chicago is going to be felt 4, 5, 6 years down the road, not next season. And then Anthony Mantha, 1x3.5 with Calgary Flames. Like, it's for a guy that's going to factor into their top six. It's probably not market value, but I don't think we're talking about Anthony Mantha the same way that we're talking about Martinez and Amadio and Carrier Stevenson and Marchessault. So at the end of the day, like, you look at all these contracts, and as we talked about all throughout the show leading up to Kelly McCrimmon, stick tap to the players. They've earned the contracts. They have every right to go out there, test the market, and get those contracts. And you cannot begrudge them for doing so. But you also can't look at it, and you can't look at the numbers, and you can't look at the term and say that the Golden Knights should have done X, Y, and Z. Because if they would have done 7x6.25 with Chandler Stephenson, think of the ripple effect that would cause with this team. If you go 5x5.5 with Jonathan Marchessault, think about what that does to you in years 4 and 5. Well, it's no fault either way anywhere. It's just time to move on. And I think the thing the Golden Knights have done a great job of, and something that gets lost initially when it comes to these reactions and the emotion of it, is that they have known when, time and again, to move on from players, to let players go, to trade players at the right time. They've just been able to understand when it's time to move on, and they've hit every single time they've done it.
Well, yeah, and that's, I think, important to note. You know, the one that kind of, for me, like when I hear what Mantha signed for, I think he may have not gotten his market value. I mean, he came here as a guy who was a perennial 20-goal scorer every single year. Like, you kind of knew what you were getting in him. And it didn't work out here, but I think he maybe suffered because it didn't work out here. Because I look at him, I feel like he should have gotten more than what he got. But, you know, I like Martinez for Chicago. That's a guy, as you said, you bring in and you have him mentor younger players. And, you know, he's certainly a guy who was capable of doing that. But what I wanted to talk about here was Kaden Korzak. And I think that we heard it. Like, he is going to be, you know, we don't know what the AAV is. We know it's a 2-year deal, but my guess is it's a very friendly team deal. And Korzak, a guy they drafted just a couple years ago, he's played sparingly. And I think for him, it's going to be an opportunity because he's probably going to split time with Ben Hutton. And maybe he has an opportunity to push Zach Whitecloud for playing time. So, you know, there's going to be an opportunity for Korzak to play. But one of the things that Kelly was asked, it was about the forwards and the infusion of a little more youth into this team. Look, you can't keep playing the same guys and expect them 4 or 5 years from now to be the same team. You have to get younger at some point. And I think this is a good transition to bring some of those younger guys in because you still have a core of solid veterans on this roster.
You know, that's a good place to stop. We'll take a break and come back with one-timers next. I want to dig into what it means and where the avenues are for some of the younger players for the Golden Knights up front. That's coming up in one-timers next on the VGK Insider Show.
Carlson left corner, centered, one-timer, score!
It's time for one-timers. One-timers. A quick look at news and notes from around the National Hockey League. Brought to you by Paul Padilaw. It's not about the injury, it's about the recovery.
One-timers, news and notes from around the National Hockey League. Brought to you by Paul Padilaw. It's not about the injury, it's about the recovery. We'd be remiss if we didn't tell you that the Golden Knights 2024 development camp is underway. They had a practice at 2:15 today, Team Red, and then Team White practiced at 3:30. Tomorrow, there'll be a scrimmage, 1:45 p.m. There you go. If you are into hockey and you want to watch some of the future Golden Knights on the ice, you'll have your opportunity tomorrow. Scrimmage, 1:45 p.m. at City National Arena. Nothing on ice Wednesday. There'll be a practice for Team White at 10:15, a Team Red practice at 11:45 on Thursday, July 4th, by the way. Happy birthday, America. And then on Friday, you'll have another practice for Team White, 9:15, Team Red, 10:30. And it looks like the final day of development camp will be Saturday, July 6th, a scrimmage at 10 a.m. So all week, City National Arena, Golden Knights development camp. Be there or be square. Also, just I know it's not a news and note from around the National Hockey League, but we are on the air tomorrow. And our last show before hiatus will be on Wednesday. So we are with you until July 3rd, and then we will see you in September. Now, that being said, I wanted to give everybody a chance to just breathe, relax, calm down. I know it's an emotional day. It always is when you see some of your favorite players move on from the organization that you root for, that you love as a fan. Probably going to open up the phone lines on Wednesday. Hopeful that the emotion will kind of dissipate a little bit and we can have some pretty good, honest discussion. So that's what's coming up over the next couple of days on the VGK Insider Show. Two more shows after today. tomorrow and Wednesday, and then we're off until September, everybody. And that's good because we'll have the schedule to kind of parse through tomorrow before we really have some fun on Wednesday. Okay, so Kelly McCrimmon just spoke to the media. He played the whole thing live. One of the things he talked about was, you know, the idea of can you add, you know, in different ways over the course of the offseason. Like, could you possibly see going out and getting a trade? Certainly, there's a possibility there for sure. Didn't give any particulars, obviously. But Kelly also mentioned the fact that, you know, you need some younger players to come through and really establish themselves and push this team moving forward. And, you know, Kelly talked about the center depth for the Golden Knights. You've got Jack Eichel, you've got William Karlsson, you've got Tomas Hertl if he's going to play down the middle, you've got Nick Waugh, Brett Howden. Like, this team is really stacked when it comes to quality down the middle. And what that can afford you is the ability to bring some younger guys along so that they can make an impact for you on the wings. And I take that, quite frankly, to mean Brendan Brisson and Alexander Holtz, right? Like, that's the two players that I look at that have the most opportunity for growth in the National Hockey League for the Vegas Golden Knights. Brendan Brisson got a taste last year. He played a couple of games. He scored his first goal. He's got his first couple of points. Like, all of those things happened. Those first, the boxes were checked. Now it's time for Brisson to move into maybe that area where he's not an everyday NHL player, but certainly an NHL player that pushes the needle in the right direction. Alexander Holtz, we spent some time on him earlier in the show. Great shot. And I really believe he's got the opportunity to be a top six forward in this league. You got to insulate him with the right guys. You got to give him a role. And you've got to trust in his skill set. And I think if you do that, there's a real opportunity for Holtz to break out. So it looks to me like the Golden Knights are doing their best right now to identify young talents and put them in places to succeed, so that one day they can outperform their contracts when it makes sense for this team to hopefully win another Stanley Cup. I don't think for a second that the goal next year for the Golden Knights is anything but a Stanley Cup. And I think you get there by getting contributions from players like Brisson and Holtz, who are only counting about $900,000 against the cap.
Well, yeah, I think the addition of Holtz, as I mentioned in the first segment, I think that's going to be one that will pay dividends for this team. I mean, I think the fact that he was drafted seventh overall and a lot of teams kind of had him slotted in that 8 to 10, maybe 6 to 10 area, like he went accordingly based on what the projections were. So it's not like the Devils reached on him. It's not like he's been, you know, a guy who has had opportunities on multiple teams. This is a guy that the Devils just did not have a defined role for, and now he's going to come to Vegas. He's going to get a fresh start. He's going to play for an organization that has a history of finding guys who overplay their contract. Chandler Stephenson, we've talked about Michael Mario ad nauseum. You know, they've had a lot of Keegan Kolasar is a guy who's probably outplayed his contract. I mean, you can make the case William Carrier was outplaying his contract. So this is an organization that has a history of getting guys who outplay what they're being paid. And it's not just Bruce Cassidy, but you look at the organization from top to bottom, and the assistant coaches do a really good job of that. I think Holtz is going to come here, and I think he's going to do well. And you mentioned the fact that they still have cap space. So, you know, they're going to go out and sign other players who I don't know. I wish I could tell you. But I know Kelly was asked if they're done, and he kind of alluded to them being done. I don't believe that. I don't believe they're done.
Yeah, I'm not sure where I fall on that. I will just say, as we talked about and as Kelly mentioned, there are 2-year contract extensions each for Kaden Korzak and Pavel Dorofeev. According to Puckpedia, the AAV for Caden Korzak is $825,000, so $825K for Caden Korzak for both this year and next, or next year and the following year. And the number that it appears to be on Pavel Dorofeev is 2 years, $1.84 million AAV. So Dorofeev is another guy that, that fits squarely in what we're talking about. You look to Dorofeev to take a step. You look for him to be an everyday, contributing, consistent middle six to top six winger, and you're cooking, right? You get contributions from Dorofeev. He takes a step. You get Brendan Brisson into the mix. He takes a step. All of a sudden, you're starting to look at how you can replace the goals that, that left in free agency with homegrown talent that have been, that have come up the right way through the organization.
Yeah, the Dorofeev, look, it's you've now stuck your toe in the water, so to speak, and now you're going to be expected to play a much bigger role. And I think there's going to be other guys on this team as well. You know, we'll see what happens with Jonas Rombierg, but he's a guy who I think could end up being, hey, look, dude, you now are a fourth line player, so you're going to re-anticipate you being an everyday guy. So you're going to have to go out there and prove that you're an NHL player. And, you know, this is what you do. The organization is now in transition, right? We have now gotten to the point where there are only four, if you include Zach Whitecloud, but four original Golden Knight players remaining on this roster. So the day will come, unfortunately, where there are none. So this is a team that is in a transition, and they're going to go out there and they're going to try to get better for the future. So I think that's the way you have to look at it. Like, they're not satisfied, but at some point you have to move on from certain players. And this is really, I think, the first time where there's been a mass exodus of players like this.
Those are your one-timers for today, Monday, July 1st. Catching up with Chapman is next.
When the guy wouldn't stop talking, we had no choice but to give him his own segment. It's time for Catching Up with Chapman.
All right, Ryan. Well, on Saturday, I got to throw out the ceremonial first pitch at the Las Vegas Aviators game. They took on Sacramento, and I'm not going to toot my own horn. Ah, who am I kidding? I am going to toot my own horn. It was a perfect strike right down the middle, high heat, low heat, whatever heat. It was a great fastball. Catcher came up to me and said, man, that was the best first pitch we've had this year. So thanks to Jim Gemma at the Aviators, Craig Williams here, and Lotus, who helped set that up. Of course, thanks to the Las Vegas Aviators as well, who gave me the chance to go out there and throw the first pitch. You know, there was a guy who threw before me for a local company, and his pitch was really good. And after the pitch, he came up to me, he said, man, you showed me up, man. I'm like, I'm sorry. I had to go out there and represent because we had some first pitches from Lotus Broadcasting. I won't name many names, but they didn't go very well. So I had to represent the company and bring bring some dignity back to our company in terms of first pitches. So it's up on Twitter, by the way.
Why won't you name names?
Oh, they know who they are.
But you're speaking to an audience right now that may not.
Well, one of them's our boss, so I don't want to throw him under the bus.
What? Wow.
His actually wasn't
vacation,
his actually wasn't so bad, but you know what? I felt like it was a competition. I felt like I had to do the best one, so I went out there and I represented the VGK Insider Show and the VGK fans by throwing an awesome
Look
first
at you.
Pitch. Yeah, what a guy, huh? What a guy.
Tooting your own horn.
Pat myself on the back.
Hard. If you were going to sign yourself to a contract today, how much money would you give yourself?
Oh, I'd be like Connor McDavid money, of course.
How many years?
Maximum. Was it 10?
No.
Eight.
Seven or eight.
Yeah, 8 years.
Yeah.